God bless you, friends. We are most grateful for the opportunity that God gives us, the opportunity to listen to the preaching of His Word, the gift of life from above. We understand that David, the king, said these words before. In Psalms 115, verse 17, he says, "The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord." In saying these words, David knew that it is the responsibility of us, believing people, to serve the Lord. For the dead praise not the Lord, whether any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. When we have time, we must make the best use of it to serve God. When we have some money, we must make the best use of that money to serve the Lord. If we have any gift, let's make the best use of that gift to serve the Lord. So a person who knows his position in Christ, he uses the best of his time, the best of his gift, the best of his money, and everything else to serve God. If we go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verse 12, the Bible says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily." Take note of that. Like the daily devotions that we are in. "But exhort one another daily." Why it is called today? "Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of the sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence unto the end." These are words of exhortation, which tells us that we must always do the best we can to line up our lives with the Word of God. And you know, when we do that, it pleases God. If I can share with you on what the messenger said on 9th January 1955 in a sermon called "Melchizedek, the Great Prince and King." He said, "Maybe someday, after this journey is over, as I go across the nations now to the foreign land and around preaching the gospel, let me leave this thought with you. My beloved children, my brothers and co-workers in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, be not weary. Take new courage this morning. Lift up your head, lift up the feeble knees and hands that once hung down. Look unto the author and the finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us the promises." That's what he's saying. Yes. He said we must take new courage and lift up the head. And he said again, this thing that I've tried to preach to you through revelation, that was given to me by the Lord Jesus Christ, while I'm yet ignorant and uneducated, illiterate, yet Almighty God has placed it before the world for its infallible. When God has called you, he doesn't consider how educated you are. No. He doesn't consider how wealthy you are materially. No. Even if you are illiterate. But if the revelation of God strikes you, you pick the mind of God. You're able to interpret the scriptures. The messenger here tells us that he was not educated, he was illiterate. But it's not the only person who was used of God. If you go into the Bible, you find out that Peter, the apostle, he was given the keys. Whatever he would bound on it would be bound in heaven. And whatever he would loose on it will also have to be loosened in heaven. Yet he was not educated. Not only Peter and John, his co-worker. You remember when they performed that miracle whereby a crippled got onto his feet, jumped into the temple, and praised the Lord. Many people marveled at the work which this apostle had done. And they knew very well that these were not educated. And they only conceived that these people were with Jesus. So, the revelation of God, when he strikes a person, you will pick the mind of God, regardless of his educational status, or whether he's poor or rich. That is what the Lord does. And when people of God are anointed by the power from above, they speak the same thing. If you look at the Bible, it was written by quite a number of authors. Some of them who did not even know each other. The years in between the time they were used of God are so many. But they could speak the same thing. There's something in common. You find out that what is written in the book of Isaiah, right across, Micah talked about it, Joel, Malachi, and what not. This is the doing of the Lord. If we take our Bibles and go to Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, we will hear this prophet also saying, then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that sought upon his name. And they shall be mine, said the Lord of hosts. In that day, when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spared his own son, that said him, then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. You see what I mean? That those that feared the Lord spoke often one to another. You can speak often to one another if you don't agree. These people show us that They had something in common. They understood one another. They could see things the same way. What I know is that there is one. The truth of the Lord is one. The Spirit of the Lord is one and the same. Be it in Africa, be it in India, talk of Europe, America, Australia, wherever. The Spirit of God is the same. It has got the same characteristics. That's the reason why when the Lord gets hold of a vessel, God doesn't consider the color of the skin. No, he considers a sincere heart. That's the reason why, you know, Malachi, when reporting this, he said, those that fear the Lord spoke often one to another. What were they speaking? What were they talking about? What were they discussing? You know, it is told in the Bible that the Lord visits those who are talking and concerned about his word. As Bible students, you agree with me that after the Lord was crucified, the people that were his were troubled. Clopas and his friends who were on their way to Emmaus were troubled in their hearts, and they were talking about this incident which had happened about the crucifixion of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it happened that as they were on the way, the Lord came and joined them. When you are talking of things of God, the Lord suddenly appears. He likes to be identified with such. When you are talking things that are to do with God, he appears. And you know, Malachi put it across and say a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, says the Lord. Yes, sir. And then shall you retain and defend between the righteous and the wicked, between him that fears God and serve him. You see what it is? When we do the right thing, people can quickly identify who we are and what we will be doing. And you see, Malachi, when he was used of God, he was privileged to see things that were to come. It was Malachi who recorded and penned down that a messenger was going to be sent, who was to go before the coming of the Messiah. Malachi was given the honor to stand on the edge between the Old Testament and the New Testament. His prophecies came between 450 BC and 400 BC. He reminded people of Israel to fear and honor God. That time, this illusionment had settled over the Jews, and that caused general apathy toward God and his command. You hear Malachi speaking at the top of his voice, and in Malachi 1 verse 6, you hear him saying, a son honored his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Said the Lord of hosts unto you. And he lamented upon the priest, where he said, O priest that despise my name. And you say, wherein and who despise thy name? Malachi reproved the priests and the people of this day and told them if they would not hear his commandment, a curse was coming upon them. You know, But Levi deserved the Lord's commandment. He kept it. He observed it. And if you read your Bible, in the book of Malachi, chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, where it is being commented about Levi, you hear the Bible says here, verse 5 of Malachi 2, my covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me, and was afraid before my name. That was laid for you. He kept the covenant. He feared the Lord. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and he did turn men away from iniquity. That was what Levi did. But for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law in his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. The Levites and the priests were to speak the same thing. They were to feed from the same pot. They were supposed to have the same revelation, because it was coming from one and only God, the creator of heavens and earth. And you know, the messenger said some great word in the message entitled, I Will Restore, which he preached on 9th March 1957. He quoted and said, Paul said in the Bible that he wanted us all to speak the same thing. He wanted us all to be in unity. And I got a little note wrote out here. I was going to read on it. All the operations of the gifts and so forth, and in unity, they stood as one great big union church. But we found out that the church stayed that way, with brotherhood, and they loved not their lives unto death. This is what it is. We are privileged that God remembered the fivefold ministry. And we know, when the messenger was asked during his lifetime, does the bride have a ministry? His answer, his response was yes. It is a humble ministry, and it's going on right now. And that ministry is composed of the apostles. It is composed of the prophets. It is composed of evangelists. It is composed of the pastors and teachers. The same way all the prophets were speaking and seeing things the same way, then the fivefold ministry have also to say the same thing. Because the revelation of God is one. If we are feeding from the same pot, if we are feeding and sharing and taking from the Holy Ghost, which is the same thing, then we have to speak with one voice the same thing. And when that is accomplished among the people, the church will prosper. The church will triumph. The church will have victory. Anything other than that, we are defeated. Anything that goes beyond that, we are defeated. So my brother, if we join hands, we'll do great work. The messenger, he was given an opportunity to see the work of God when he brought together his powerful army in this last age. And you hear him saying, God is putting together his army. The people that he is going to put on the battlefront, who are going to fight the last battle, to help find the last one in. And that responsibility is given on you and on me. And together is one. The Lord will bless us if we accomplish that purpose. And I encourage each one of you, brothers and sisters, to look in the scriptures and to be of sincere heart. And by so doing, we'll have achieved the Lord. May God bless you. Amen. Praise God.